Let strangers know. Go up to people and tell them, hey,
this is on the street, man. Yeah, just tell them, man.
Just spread the word. We're also looking for sponsors of those shows, too. And get on while you can, while the rates are good, because director's cut, and both these shows are shooting through the roof as far as viewership and listenership and everything. So
get on while it's good. Yep.
Reach out to our sales staff and maybe be a sponsor of those shows. Or maybe be a sponsor of Pet of the Week, because we want to send a big shout out to the Collar Club being our sponsor this week. A big thank you to them. Visit the Collar Club. They got great deals going on right now for new and old clients, and of course our good friends at the Southwick County Humane Society. A big thank you to Madison and Vanilla for joining us today. That was a lot of fun.
That was great.
Seth, thank you for a good show. You have yourself a good weekend.
You too.
And we'll have more morning show for you tomorrow. We'll have Morning Magazine coming up right now at WFHR locally grown radio.
Is CBS News on the Hour, your home for original reporting.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. President Biden took a partial victory for a strengthening economy in last night's State of the Union address, his first before a divided Congress.
Thanks to what you've all done, we're exporting American products and creating American jobs. But we have more to do. But here at home, inflation is coming down.
Our respondent, Nancy Cordes from Washington.
President Biden's second State of the Union address started with a show of bipartisanship as he congratulated the new House Speaker, Republican Kevin McCarthy.
Speaker, I don't want to ruin your reputation, but I look forward to working with you.
But the night quickly took a turn.
And
McCarthy had to shush members of his own party at least four times as they booed and interrupted the president when he talked about China, about fentanyl, and when he noted that some Republicans have proposed cutting Medicare and Social Security.
British Prime Minister Rishi Sunak greeted Ukraine's president on the tarmac when he arrived for a surprise visit to London. The two men met at 10 Downing Street. Then Volodymyr Zelensky addressed the British Parliament in a bid for more military support.
We will always come out on top of evil. This lies at the core of our, but also your, traditions.
Zelensky is also meeting with King Charles. It's a race against time to find additional survivors trapped in massive mounds of rubble in the frigid cold after Monday's 7.8 earthquake that devastated parts of Turkey and Syria. Today, the death toll topped 11,000. In Pyongyang, marked the 75th anniversary of the country's army. Small government-organized groups performed. Others held signs praising the Korean People's Army. The King gets a new title after last night's Lakers game. CBS's Steve Futterman was there.
What a moment for LeBron James. He is now the NBA's all-time leading scorer. And the crowd here chanting MVP. He entered the league 20 years ago, and tonight he attains one of the greatest records in basketball.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, who held the title for almost 40 years, was there to congratulate his successor.
LeBron has conducted himself with class. He had a plan. He came right out of high school and went after excellence on the court.
CVS is taking a giant plunge into primary medical care. It's reached a $10.6 billion all-cash deal to buy clinic owner Oak Street Health. It adds hundreds of senior clinics, as well as about 600 physicians and nurse practitioners for COVID vaccinations, strep tests, and other services at CVS pharmacies. S&P futures down 20. Dow futures off 119. This is CBS News.
You know, it's true.
Light the lamp.
All the way down, he scores! A 200-foot empty net goal for the captain.
And defend the ice.
Driving in, centering pass. Oh, great sliding left pad save.
This is America's college hockey capital.
Fire one towards the net and scores.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger hockey.
Right here on WFHR, locally grown radio, your home for Wisconsin sports.
Every day, people begin a difficult and sometimes desperate search for programs that can provide assistance. United Way's 211 is there to connect you to the programs and services you need. For non-emergency information and referral services, call United Way's 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. How do you locate a support group for widows or housing for an elderly parent? United Way's 211 is free and confidential and provides answers to these questions and more. Dial 211 for community information and referrals, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR.
Mixed precipitation possible at times this afternoon, otherwise overcast. Highs level off around 36, northerly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected again tonight, lows level off around 16. High temperatures reach up to 26. Tomorrow, a mix of clouds and sun. A dusting of snow today. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 35.
Good morning. You're listening to Central Wisconsin's 24-hour information station, WFHR. It's time now for the Morning Magazine.
Welcome, everyone, to Morning Magazine, part one for this February 9th, 2023, 10:05 on the clock. Have your host, James J. Mailoff. At part two, at 10:30, Jackie Carantini, human development and relationships educator with UW Extension, going to join us. We're going to talk a little bit about their Extension's wellness series with Jackie. Right now, we got a couple of our friends from the Historic Point Boston. We're going to talk about Wakely's Winter Feast. I'll have you guys introduce yourselves so the audience is familiar with what voices, what talk in here. So you can go ahead and introduce yourself.
I'm Larry Knutson down at Point Boss. I'm called Torger. I'm in the bunkhouse down there, but one of the workers and lackeys of Historic Point Boss.
Always good to see you, Larry. Thanks for being here. Appreciate it.
And I'm Tom Bramer, and I reside in the Trapper's Cabin there when we're open, but today we're going to be cooking for the winter feast.
Right on. And I'm so excited to talk with both of you guys. Tom, always good to see you. Appreciate the time from both of you. What you guys do to keep history alive over there and living and alive and well over at Historic Point Boss. Let's dive right into Wakely's Winter Feast. Tom, if people have never heard of this event before, what can we tell them about it right away?
It's a fundraiser.
Yeah.
We have to pay the gas bill and the light bill like everybody else.
Yep,
and this is one way we do it. What we've done is hit on a thing that Mr. Wakely himself did back in the 1800s. Is about in February, he had cotillions. Now, they had a big hotel that is long gone. But they would have a big party. Yeah, break up the winter, you know, whatever. And so we kind of hit on that some years ago, and we decided that we would do a dinner and program, and we decided we would do wild game, or some of it. I mean, not everybody likes it, so we're trying to get everybody to come, so we kind of do both. And then we'd have, we have some music, and we have some entertainment. We were doing raffle baskets. Silent auction for some handmade turned wooden bowls and stuff that one of our members does. And it's from 4 until 8 o'clock, or 7:30, 8 o'clock, on February 18th. We're at the Nakusa Senior Civic Center on Crestview.
Can't miss it.
Yeah, right behind the high school, the junior high there. And lots of signs. And we'll be, this is our, oh, I don't know, well over 30.
I was going to say.
That we've done. I think the earliest I can find record that we did them was 89.
And, you know, and I want the audience to know I take these interviews seriously. I do my homework. I want to be prepared when I come into them. And then Mike walks in here and I know nothing. I listen to Mike Hittner for 5 minutes and I'm like, oh, my God. All that hours and hours of research, I know nothing. Mike knows everything.
Tell us that's our life. You know?
but I do want to touch on that a little bit because we'll get into the details of the event where people can get tickets and we'll make Larry work over here too and stuff. you don't get to just sit there, Larry.
I'm happy to sit there.
I know. What I want to do is just talk a little bit about the history of the event with you, Tom, a little because you mentioned 30. You mentioned not even knowing, and you know it's a high number when you can't remember how many of these we've done. Like that's telling you something right there. Do you know how this event got going, how the ball got rolling on this?
We were having a meeting. We were in the basement of Forrester's restaurant around A Street.
Nice. Old good reference.
He used to let us use their basement for our board meetings and stuff. I mean, at the time, we used to pass the hat around to make the gas bill around the board of directors. We'd all put in a little, and then we could pay the gas bill. Honest to goodness, that's how it was. And Brian McDermott, a local contractor and a member of the home builders, who was our biggest supporter, said he had just been to the Madrigal dinner at the UWSP, where they do the medieval singing and all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And he said they had such a great time. And one of the gals was sitting alongside of me, and she goes, "It sounds interesting."
Hmm.
And so we, over the next year, came up with the idea of doing our own version of Madrigal Dinner in a different time period. And it was just an experiment. I remember the first time pacing that floor, because it started at 4.
Yeah.
And it was at the Beeren Community Hall, the old one up on by the White House.
Yeah.
And we had it catered at that time. Now we cook our own, but we had it catered at that time. And I remember getting there about 3 o'clock, and I must have wore out the floor, pacing up and down. And it was a great turnout. Everything went just right, and we had a great time. But that was kind of and it's just been coming along ever since. We missed one during COVID. Well, okay, so did everybody else. But other than that, I mean, we've done one. We moved it from Christmas time to February, just to stay off. There's so much going on.
Yeah.
It was just, and thankfully, when we started, we named it Winter Feast.
Hmm.
Yeah, we didn't even have to change the name of the thing. It wasn't nothing to do with the holidays.
Yeah.
So we just picked it up and moved it.
Covered your bases with that. That worked out.
When we did our research into the cotillions that Wakely had done, they would write up in the local papers. Mm-hmm. They were in February. Huh. So it's like, okay, here we go.
Yeah, perfect.
We're on.
I love hearing the origin stories of these things. Real quick story. It reminds me so much, and I talked to Mike about this before. Steppenwolf Theater in Chicago. Gary Sinise, John Malkovich, two of the greater actors we've seen. Mm-hmm. They're young men, and they want to start out a theater company for young Chicago actors, Midwest actors, really, mm-hmm. not just Chicago, but any kids in the Midwest that can't make it to New York, to Juilliard and all this stuff. And they're just starting out, and they talk about this in an interview, how the first year or so they had to steal toilet paper from like a gas station just to get by.
Yep.
And they decide, well, how can we keep the lights on? Well, maybe we should let people see these shows. Today, Steppenwolf is considered the Broadway of the Midwest. Like, you, good luck getting tickets to their shows and everything. Like, it's kind of funny how these things begin and where they end up. And when it comes to something like this, how has the event grown over the years? How has it?
It hasn't grown a lot. We shoot for about 150 people. One year or two, we had some more.
Mm-hmm.
A few years, especially right around this COVID thing, we had a little less. But but we do entertainment. We've got more live and more period entertainment than we used to have. This year, we have a three-piece band.
Right on.
Well, guitar, fiddle, and a bass player. Well, if Robert Wakely would have had three pieces to play at his cotillion, he thought he had died and went to heaven.
Yeah, really, yeah.
Because they're acoustic. I mean, it's the real sound. And we've been lucky with that a few different times to be able to pick up people that do that, not necessarily folk music, but the style that we're looking for. And it really adds to it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we've just kind of gone from there.
Larry, how do you participate in the event?
Well, on Friday, we are setting up the site out there, and we're starting our cooking. And actually, Monday, we're going to be hauling our meats over to the center, because they've given us permission that we can put our meats in the coolers to start thawing them and things like that for the event.
Yeah.
So I'm just kind of a gopher, I guess, for the most part there. But luckily on Friday we typically have a good number of volunteers that come out, and then we start the cooking process and setting up the tables and things like that. And then on Saturday when we have the event, I'm a little selfish there. That's the day I want to eat. I don't really work as hard. If need be, I come out in the morning and help with the final food preparations. Yeah. But Tom and Scott, one of our chefs out there, do a fantastic job in finishing the foods and things like that, and getting ready for the event. And after the event, if you ever see Tom after the event, he's maybe laying on the floor because he's so exhausted.
can imagine.
All the work that he's done out there. So I tell you, none of us work as hard as Tom. But we do have a good number of people out there. We can always use more, for sure, because it is a very strong or labor-intensive event to do out there.
We'll be wrapping up talking about that, encouraging people to volunteer and be a part of things over there. And I appreciate that, Larry. And you earned the rest. You've earned to sit back and enjoy your meal, Tom has here, too.
We need storytellers to help with the entertainment, not official entertainment, but the character, the ambiance of the day. Larry brings his character, of course, and that is a big part of what we do.
Oh yeah,
At the beginning of the event, we have hors d'oeuvres and things like that, and we want people to socialize, and that's why we start at 4 o'clock, so that people have an opportunity to socialize a little bit and meet some other people. And we have a lot of tables that are set up because families come. They bring their whole family, big groups of people and stuff together.
And I'm glad you brought that up, Larry, because what I hear over the years and years, not just with this event, but any events that you host at the Historic Point Boss, it's so much about those things. All the stuff that's planned, everybody looks forward to that kind of thing. There's the organic stuff, running into people you haven't seen in a while, making new friendships. And certainly when you bring families and you're bringing your kids to this event, the kids aren't just going to have a really good meal. They're going and they're seeing, wow, my parents are putting into their community. They're putting into the history of our community. They're trying to keep this alive. Their brains are sponges. They're taking all this in. And they see that example, they're going to grow up and be more likely to want to do that kind of stuff. So it's not just a great meal and helping the Historic Point Boss keep its lights on and all that stuff. It's helping keep history alive, important history that's important to all of us and should be carried on. Yep. And what we'll get into is volunteering and stuff a little bit later, but we're talking about the meal and that. Let's touch on the meats that are going to be there, Tom.
Okay. Well, what we're going to do, we've got venison meatloaf.
Right on. Ooh, venison meatloaf. I don't think I've had that.
Well,
how have I been in this state 20 years and not had venison meatloaf? Well, I've had every
shame
kind of
on you.
Venison.
I'll sell you a ticket. At 10:30, I'll sell you a ticket.
That sounds good. Yeah.
We're also doing cabbage rolls made with black bear.
Ooh.
One of our friends, member, was lucky enough to harvest a black bear this year, and we got a nice chunk, and we're going to, that's a ground one, too, but with wild rice. And then you put it in the glumkes, I think they call them.
I can see it. I can picture it, yeah.
With a little bit of the tomato over the
top. Yeah, yeah. That sounds amazing.
And we're going to do raccoon a la king. Little bacon powder biscuit, and then the raccoon and gravy with a little celery, onion, little roasted red pepper, that kind of... biscuit and gravy, chicken and biscuit with raccoon. That's sort of a take, and that goes over real well. We've done that with a number of different games over the years, and this year we're trying it with raccoon, and then we're doing beaver stroganoff.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Oh.
Beaver is excellent meat. The native people have been eating it for centuries.
Right.
Waste not, want not.
Uh-huh.
You know.
Yeah.
And I'm quite sure that the trappers, even out west, I mean, you've got it laying there, so it's time to eat.
We're
going to eat it. And it's good. There's nothing wrong. You got to cook it long and get it tender because it's kind of tough. You can cook it up good, and we've done real well. Last year we did beaver stew, so this year we're doing stroganoff. Stroganoff's a little tough to hold.
Yeah.
So we're working on that, but we have a chef, honest to goodness certified chef, that comes in, and he's given us a lot of ideas, and he's the one that puts it all together at the end. We get everything pretty much prepared, and then about noon on Saturday, it's like, okay, this is yours. You figure out how to get it all out at 5 o'clock.
And
exactly.
Yeah, hands
and he
off.
Does. He does. My mind doesn't run that way. I mean, I'll cook this and I'll cook that, but he's the one that gets it all hot at just the right time, and boom.
A good chef is an artist.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, I mean, they really are. Yeah. The way they can combine things and stuff, it's crazy.
Yep.
Is there a way we could, and I don't know if you guys have tried these different types of meats or not and everything, and we don't have to ramble too much about this, but is there anything people should know, like what raccoon, like is it gamey, or is it a little tender, is it tough to eat? Is there a certain flavor to it?
Raccoon is more like pork.
Okay.
Right. Honestly, we were just talking about it. You know, there's you have to clean it really good.
Yeah.
And get the fat off. That's the part that tastes funky.
Oh, okay.
And if you don't get...
Makes sense.
If you get it greasy, no, thank you.
Huh.
But if you, in the beaver is a drier meat. Bear is a little sweeter.
Oh, really?
And of course, venison is venison.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, in fact, the venison we eat today is a whole lot different than I remember as a kid when my uncle would bring over venison for us.
Yeah.
You get slate to get cool, and all of a sudden you got the tallowy thing. Now, these guys are eating corn and good stuff. They're not eating willow brows.
Right.
Yeah, they will this time of year, but in the fall, they're eating the leftovers from the harvest.
It's really
good.
You have to look back in time a little bit. Years and years ago, when you're in the wilderness and stuff, everybody wanted fat. They wanted fat on their meat. Therefore, raccoon and beaver, and if the fattier they were, the more appealing they were, you know, because you needed that for energy and stuff. Yeah. But today, we try and go along with the diet of people today. So we try and make sure that they're, all the gamey stuff is taken, the gamey flavor. And there's lots of things. Apple and onion is two wonderful things to take that gamey flavor out. Mm-hmm. So we've got a lot of different recipes that we hope makes it a little more appealing to
today's
palate.
We go through a boatload of onions.
I bet.
This year we had one of our members donated just a bunch of apple that they had cored and frozen. So there's going to be apple in a whole bunch of things.
Ooh, that's
good. In
fact,
we're doing a squash and apple pudding. Now, it's not a dessert. The English idea of pudding is a lot different than ours.
Yeah.
But it's squash and apples cooked together, and it's kind of stiffer, more like, at least I hope that's how it turns out. We've never made it before, but we have a recipe from 1797.
Whoa.
The first cookbook written and published in what is now the U.S.
Whoa. That is awesome.
Yeah. A relative of Thomas Jefferson's wife wrote this thing back there, and it's one of the ones we picked up, and it's sort of a cooked squash dish, but it's got the apple and other spices and stuff in it.
That's awesome.
We're trying it. I mean, what the heck?
Yeah, yeah.
We're doing homemade sauerkraut that we made on the site. Mike makes the sauerkraut each year.
Yeah.
A tradition that we've had for
He's proud of that,
many,
too.
Many.
I've heard it's good really stuff. Good. Yeah.
Good stuff. We're also doing baked beans with beans that we grew in our garden.
Oh, wow.
The squash that we have and pumpkin that we're going to use a little later, I'll tell you about for dessert, was grown on the site. The gardeners there that are part of our group have done just a tremendous job with their garden. We're also doing macaroni and cheese. Not everybody likes a lot of meat.
Yeah.
Okay, macaroni and cheese during the revolutionary time. Now, it was different, but they had it. And again, Jefferson was one of the ones when he came back from France, wanted to have macaroni here, and they sent him a machine from Italy to make noodles. But our flour is different than theirs, and it didn't work.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's kind of an interesting side.
Very interesting story.
So we're going to do kind of a contemporary mac and cheese. We're doing, of course, dressing and mashed potatoes and gravy and chicken and ham. Besides,
so those would be the kind of alternatives for people if they don't want to try maybe some of them.
We wanted something on the menu for people that possible vegetarians and things like that.
That's so cool that you guys thought of that stuff and are countering that. I mean, it's smart business wise. You're going to bring more people and everything, but it's also something that I always think is noteworthy when people do that. It's nobody's making you do that. I think it's really cool that you think of those things and counter that with giving more options for people.
I'd like some some members of my family wouldn't come unless we did that. Let's just put it that way.
Same here. Same here. Yeah.
So we want to keep the family together.
Yes.
Right on.
So,
very good.
So
very well done.
It always made sense to.
Yeah.
In fact, when we started this, the wild game was kind of the add-on. It was chicken and ham or chicken and beef, whichever worked out for that year, was the main thing. And then we would also serve venison or whatever sides. Well, now it's kind of gone. Let's see how creative we can be with the wild game. And of course, we've always got the other stuff that everybody likes.
Right.
So. It's worked out.
Well, and it's so unique. It's such a unique event. There's not many things, if anything, like this that I can think of.
There's a few wild game dinners around.
Yeah.
The Sportsman's Club out at Babcock does the buffalo thing. I think they're still doing it. I'm not sure. I know they used to because I used to help them with it. But there's a few around.
Yeah.
You got to be licensed by the state to do it.
Yeah.
And we have. Got a license from the state. And like I say, with our chef. There we've got the licensed food service personnel that have hold a license. So it's we play the game, but it works out. Yeah.
You mentioned that there. Did you have some, Larry?
Well, I just wanted to mention a facility too. It's a wonderful facility.
Yeah.
Good seating that we have. The people work with us wonderfully out there.
Yeah.
And we're really proud to have that site out there as well.
Yeah. Glad you mentioned that.
We talked to Heather, who's the gal that manages the site there. We asked for something. She just smiles and goes, "Okay."
Yeah. Heather's amazing.
You know, it's just fun.
A good morning to Heather out there. Yeah, she's amazing. The Wakely's Winter Feast is going to be going on Saturday, February 18th. The gathering will begin at 4, feast at 4:50, and the program will start at 6:30. As the gentleman mentioned, Nacoosa Area Senior Community Center is where it is be taking place at 416 Crestview Lane in Nacoosa. Where can they get tickets, Tom?
Family Natural Foods in Rapids on the west side, Daily Drugs on the east side, and Beaver's Variety Store in Nacoosa.
And we wanted to make sure to mention to people out there that they've got great events going on. Next time you guys join us, we'll talk about Sugar Bush in March and plenty of things like that. But there's always tours available and that kind of thing.
We can. This time of year, not quite so much.
But in the spring, we do.
Last year, we did almost 1,000 school kids through that site. Our charge is minimal.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
We can do that because nobody ever gets paid. We're all volunteers. Yeah. We show up. Other than the lights have to be on anyway, so I mean, there's no extra cost. So they pay. I think it's like $3 a kid to come for a whole day.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, bye.
It's so amazing.
And then we do our Sugar Bush. But if people have a group that they want to go to the website, check in there. Somebody will get back to you. We'll do stuff.
Yeah.
That's depending on availability of the volunteers.
Right, right.
Like you say, we are all volunteers out there. So and we do our utmost to make sure that we have some volunteers available out there. So.
And we could always use some more volunteers. And if people do want to volunteer, be a part of things over at Wakely. Appreciate you guys and want you guys around another 100 years. But we know how Father Time works. So we want more people. We want younger people. We want to keep this going for another 50, 60,000 years. Keep this going and everything. So we need people to help do with that.
The pioneers were not gray-haired old men and women. They were young people with kids. And to truly tell the story, we need to have some of our volunteers be young families. We've got a few folks right now they're there as a young family. And it's like, isn't this cool? Because that's the way it really was.
Yeah. Very well said. That's a perfect way to wrap up. Again, Wakely's Winter Feast going on next Saturday, February 18th. The gathering will begin at 4, feast at 4:50, the program at 6:30, all taking place at the Nacoosa Area Senior Community Center at 416 Crestview Lane in Nacoosa. Get your tickets at Family Natural Foods, Beaver's Variety Store, Daily Drug. Find out more by going to historicpointboss.com. That website, bookmark it, historicpointboss.com. Great job today, you guys. That was fun. Thank you for the show.
Thank you for having me.
Really good show. We'll be sending people your way to the event.
Okay,
you're probably going to see me at the event even. I got to try some of these
things.
I got to try these things. Thanks for the time, guys. We're going to take a break. We'll come back with some more Morning Magazine for you right here at WFHR.
Pride.
Left corner, three on the way. Got it.
Excellence.
Yes, it counts. And a foul.
Commitment.
Drops the hammer. Thank you and good night.
For Badgers, they're not just words. They're words to live by.
It's over. Let's have a party, Badger Nation.
This is your radio home for the Badgers.
Catch all the Badgers men's basketball action in the Big Ten this year right here on WFHR, locally grown radio, your home for Wisconsin sports.
Wisconsin enjoys a rich history in broadcasting, which we celebrate at the Wisconsin Broadcasters Hall of Fame. I'm Michelle Vetterkind, president of the WBA. We honor those who have devoted their careers to serving their local communities as legendary broadcasters. They are personalities, owners, engineers, and educators. It's an experience that's free for all to enjoy. Visit the Wisconsin Broadcasters Hall of Fame, located inside the Milwaukee Hilton City Center.
Tom has been a teacher for over 40 years. One day, I think one of the students had asked the question and he didn't remember the answer. And I also noticed that he was letting his class out earlier than they were supposed to let out. I was really starting to worry.
Levi and I talked about how it would change our lives, but he was there beside me.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Mixed precipitation possible at times this afternoon, otherwise overcast. Highs level off around 36, northerly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected again tonight, lows level off around 16. High temperatures reach up to 26. Tomorrow, a mix of clouds and sun. A dusting of snow today. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 35.
Good morning, and welcome back to The Morning Magazine. It's time for part two.
Welcome, everybody, to Morning Magazine, part two for this February 9th, 2023, 10:31 on the clock, and you have your host, James, here, and I am joined right now by one of our favorite people, Jackie Carantini, Human Development and Relationship Educator with UW-Madison Extension. Good morning, Jackie.
Good morning.
Good to have you here. How you been?
Good.
Good. Good. Very happy to hear that, and very happy to dive into what we're going to talk about today, the Extension Wellness classes that are going on, and some revamping to this, it sounds like.
Yeah, so pre-COVID, we had a fantastic program with our community partner at SWAPS, the food pantry here in Wisconsin Rapids, and then during COVID, we went virtual. So we didn't stop them, we still did them, and we kind of tried to do a hybrid of rotating around, doing a couple different locations. We tried some libraries, still did virtual, you know, I won't say super successful, you know, low attendance at most kind of thing. And so finally decided, let's go back to in person. And so now we're partnering with Focus. So if you're not familiar with Focus, Focus is the joint location for the new food pantry here in Wisconsin Rapids. It's located down on West Grand Ave. So if you're heading out of town, if you got to Quick Trip, you went too far. So it's across the street from that, kind of behind on the backside of a building. It's beautiful. So if nothing else, if hopefully you get lots of things out of today's discussion. But if you haven't gotten anything else out of it, is take a trip over to Focus and check out this just beautiful facility. It houses not only the food pantry, but also the backpack program. It also does the meal site. So the weekly meals are now held there. So there's a beautiful commercial kitchen and a big dining room that's, again, gorgeous, super nice. There's a hydroponics room.
So cool.
Which is so cool. So super fun, very jealous. So even if you're maybe even looking for volunteer opportunities, and I highly encourage you to check it out. So if you use us for nothing, you can use us. Feel free to use us. Come on in for a reason. If you don't feel comfortable just stopping in to check it out, come on down to our program, and then it'll be an excuse for you to get a tour. The other
I love that.
The other cool thing is that Our programs are on Tuesdays, and they're right before pantry. So they're from 3 to 4 p.m. on Tuesdays. And the cool thing is that if you're in the class, you get to be first in line for pantry.
Hey, there you go.
Yeah, so you get to kind of jump the line. So I know over the years, that was something that kind of was a motivator for some people, especially if they have mobility issues or it was cold and they didn't want to wait. If you can come and sit and listen and get some free food and, you know, get good stuff, it was a great way to kind of jump in line. And yeah, so they really liked it. So that's kind of where that's at. So yeah, so we're hoping to really get more people, get some more foot traffic. It was remodeled during COVID, kind of a long process. They've been open for a little while now, but still use more people, knowing who it is, what it is, where it is. Again, then even, you know, that you can go to the pantry.
Yeah.
Again, lots of fresh fruits and vegetables, which most people don't know. So if you've never utilized it, again, highly encourage you to check it out. It's a great process, and we're just kind of an avenue to help you get there.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more as far as the focus on what they're doing over there and people checking it out. I would love to do. I haven't gotten to get over there and do a tour myself. I'd like to do that and like bring it up on the air and talk about it on the air. Because more awareness for that place can always be used.
Yeah. And again, it's just cool. It's just a beautiful, beautiful place. And I know it's kind of the thing that in many communities, WASA just opened theirs last week. They had their open house.
That's right.
Very similar concept, too. So it's this idea of kind of a one-stop shop for folks. We want to make it easier for you to access services. So the more that we can get you into one location for multiple things, the lot easier. So hence why we are having our programs there, so that you can, you know, get access to multiple things when you're there, too.
Plenty to talk about today. I don't mean to get us down a different a side alley or anything, but you know me, I do this. It seems like to me, talking to different groups of people and having different extension members join us and hearing, you know, many years talking to you about like focus and these things, it seems like we're getting better and better, not only being comfortable talking about mental health, but about how to approach the topic, about how to help people with the topic, about, you know, building bridges between people and people that can help those people in that.
Accessing services, absolutely.
So that's a much easier way to say it.
That is, you know, Ben, I would say in my, way too long, 20-some years, that's really been, you know, in every community I'm in, that's our goal, right? We want to get people the help they need when they need it. And not just extension, like any help provider in the community. We want to get people the help they need when they need it. So if we can eliminate a barrier, and I don't care if you're talking about access to food, if you're talking about mental health services, if you're talking about financial assistance for your rent, like it doesn't make a difference what it is. No one wants to be sent to 10 different people. No one wants to be put on hold and, or you don't understand what they're saying or, so many different things. Or there's a language barrier. There's lots of, that's the reason people don't go. That's the reason we don't go. And you also hold on to it for a really long time. So maybe you did try the food pantry 10 years ago and you had a sour experience and you're like, oh, I'm never going back again. Go back. It's changed an awful lot. Again, not just the beautiful new, you know, facility, but just the whole process and how, you know, again, I'll cross my fingers, you're greeted as you walk in the door, and it's a really nice experience. So if you haven't gone, I'd say even in the last, 3 years since COVID, I encourage you to check it out. And even if you don't want to go for yourself, go and check it out and then refer someone else, because I know we all know someone in our lives that can use more food right now. And just because, and again, I don't want you thinking, well, I'm fine, there's other people that need it more. If you need it, you need it, and that's what it's there for. So that's why we have these services. So I think that's part of, I love how you brought up mental health, but I think that goes for accessing any help services right now too. We have this connotation in our society that's bad, like you don't want to, you know, use and abuse the system, and that's for other people, and it's there for you. If you need food, if, you know, any day of the week you are, you know, you are not getting what you need, if you are, you know, sacrificing other things to get food, or vice versa, the opposite, It's there, and we have resources. Utilize them. No one wants to be throwing stuff away, so it is there for you. So yeah. I hope, if nothing else, like I said, if you don't want to go for yourself, refer a friend. Mm-hmm. Go together, make it a social event. We're all, that's one another thing. I just did a program earlier this week at the library, but talking about social connections, right? And that's part of it too, is get a buddy and head on out. We want you out and about in the community. So I said, you know, there's opportunities to volunteer, but I just want you to get out and build social connections, because that's so important for your health too, mental and physical.
Want to dive into the classes and touching on these a little bit?
Yeah. Yeah. So similar to our setup before, except last time we did all 4 weeks. This one we're doing three. So it starts on the second Tuesday. No. Yes.
Hmm. Is that the second?
No, yeah. I'm looking. No, first. So first Tuesday of the month is Janelle Weir. She's our horticulture educator. So she did hers this past week, the first one. And then the next week, so the second Tuesday is Hannah. And Hannah is our FoodWise educator. Mm-hmm. So she talks on something food and nutrition related. Mm-hmm. And she generally has a food sample. So again, if you just want to get out and socialize and you're looking for something fun to do, that's good. And then the third week of the month is me and financial. And when I say financial, you will also notice we do have flyers. We have the dates for the next couple of months on there. And again, it's going to stay the same for the remainder of the year. So if you ever want to go, you know, always know that the first Tuesday of the month is going to be something hort-based, right? It's always going to be, you know, gardening, growing your own food, any kind of questions related to that. So you can keep that for the remainder of the year. You don't even have to have a current flyer. But I think the other thing is we're also open up to change, right? And listening to people and knowing what they want. So we're only doing a couple months at a time. We're keeping the flyers really vague so that we can go with what people need, right?
Yeah.
So my topic for 2 weeks, so it's not next week, the following week, so it'll be on the 21st. We're going to talk about the idea of what to keep, what to toss, just getting organized, right? So it's the beginning of the year. It's also tax season. It's also that time when people have more indoor time. They're looking for something to do. And we're also staring at the piles of stuff that we have that we don't know what the heck to do with, right?
Yeah.
Yep. So that's my topic. So we'll cover a variety of different things. We'll talk about just some of the financial implications of it. So how to be more organized. So things like, again, where to keep your important financial papers, what to keep. I do have a flyer that we actually, it's not a flyer, it's like a hard copy piece of paper. It's called Sharing Secrets, but just where do you keep your stuff?
Yeah.
And you don't necessarily have to let someone else know now. I always say fill out this form and then put it in your underwear drawer and tell your loved ones it's in my underwear drawer. So if someone, you know, something happens to me, you know where to find, you know, the different pieces. A lot of times, I think, especially in past generations, we put a lot of important papers in our lockbox at the bank. But if someone also was, their name was not on the lockbox and they didn't have access, then no one could get to any of the information, right? So there's things that should be in your lockbox, and that's on this flyer as well. But there's also things that you need to access through at home. And also, if something does happen to you, someone needs to know where it is, right? So I think that's the important part. It's actually called Sharing Secrets. And it's like, I don't want you to, no one needs to know your business, right? I get that. I 100% get that you want to keep that to yourself.
Yeah.
But when the time comes, you don't want, I just gave this example the other day, and then I had three people in the room raise their hands and they're like, yeah, that happened to my, are you talking about my family?
Right.
They said, we were talking about after someone did pass, that one woman said 2 years, they were still cleaning out the property. Someone else said they were like 18 months in and they were still finding stocks that this person had. So they couldn't close the estate because they were still finding things that had financial implications. So again, this piece of paper, you can say, yes, I have stocks from this year, this year, this year, this is where they're located, right? So it's this idea of, again, you don't have to give it to anybody right now. Just tell somebody that if something happens, here's my list. I have it all written down what it is. You know, it's fantastic. I also work with a lot of folks lately on kind of, we call it planning ahead, So yeah. This idea of, you know, if something does happen to me, these are my wishes, you know. And so it's nice that if you trust your family, that they will do things for you. But it's also nice that if you want to share these things with mm-hmm. someone else. So, you know, funeral planning. Yeah, it's fantastic if you pre-planned your funeral. But if you don't tell anybody.
I'm not going to do
it.
Not
only that you paid for it, but, you know, I have a lot of folks that, you know, they write their own obituary. Mm-hmm. They have things set aside. They have things that they want. And they're very passionate about their wishes. If you don't share them with anybody, it won't, you know, get carried out.
Yeah.
So I think that's the other piece of it, is really just kind of thinking through. So I think this is a really good time of year to come on in, have a conversation. We'll talk about, again, those kind of important papers, where are they kept, the financial implications of some of that, right? So if you lose, say, a deed to something, or you can get another copy, you're going to pay for it. You know, a birth certificate, marriage license, you need those now to get a real ID at the DMV, you're going to pay for it. You can get new copy. So there is importance of being organized, knowing where things are at, and there are financial implications if you don't. So we'll kind of work our way through, and then we'll cover a little bit of just that kind of more generic of how to be more organized. You know, how do you even start?
You know, one of the things that stands out right away to me about this, Jackie, is the idea of, we're dealing with a topic that not everybody wants to face or talk about always. But to me, I noticed something with my own parents with this, and talking with other people about it since the last time we talked about this. Yeah. My mom and dad took an initiative after hearing you talking about it, saying, yeah. Oh, my mom is a planner and she has all this stuff done. And then she's like, wait a minute, I didn't do this and this. And she heard you talking. She's like, okay, we're getting on this, Jimmy. And of course, the oldest is the first one they pull in, of course. So, you know, I'm pulled into that. But it's actually been really good for me, because it's been like, well, wait a minute. I don't want my kids going through this stuff. I'm, you know, so I want to make sure to do these things too, the checks and balances, if you will. And once it was done, some of it was heavy conversation. Yeah. But once it was done, the relief that I saw in my mom and dad, I'm still seeing.
Yeah.
Like when these things, when they see something in the news and something pops up in their head about a will or where they're keeping their important documents or any of these kind of things, they have a relief in them every time the subject pops in their head. So it's not just that you can take care of this and maybe you don't have to really deal with it much after that. But when you do think about it later on, it's kind of like looking out for future you,
yeah.
you know, in many ways. And that the relief in that.
I love that you brought that up, because we talk about the idea of, especially when you're talking about end of life planning, we have this idea that it's I wish it was only for older adults, right?
Right.
I wish it only pertained to people who were, you know, lived a long, healthy, prosperous life. That's not the case, right?
Yeah.
So we always say it's anyone over the age of 18.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we're talking about something, it literally is over anyone over the age of 18. So you need to be having these conversations as your children graduate and go to college, and you need to be asking them what their wishes are.
Yes.
And, you know, and it's not just the health stuff of, you know, do you want to be an organ donor or kept alive on a machine if you are unable to breathe for yourself? But it's also the other pieces that go with it. And we just don't talk about it. So I think part of this is normalizing that and just, yeah. And again, a part of it is just being organized to know where it is. And so same thing, you have young people that are moving out, make sure they know that, this is what you keep with you. You need to keep a copy of this. And no, I don't want you to keep your social security card in your dorm room.
Right.
No, not, you know, absolutely not. So I think that's important for folks too. I did this, a version of this last week at the alternative high school at River Cities. And we were talking about what to keep where. And I was helping the kids fill out their forms to get their credit reports.
Mm-hmm.
And I told them the previous time to make sure that you had your social security number with you, but don't carry your card in your wallet. And I was so like, oh my gosh, all of a sudden these kids are pulling up their wallets. And I'm like, yeah, no, don't carry your social security card in your wallet.
Yeah.
Right? So huge. So I think part of that, you know, for any age is this idea of, where do we keep our stuff? When do, you know, and then even the other part is kind of the more generic of just cleaning, right?
Mm.
Like this idea of it's that time of year, you have extra time because the weather's kind of crappy out right now. And then, you know, we all look at piles in our house. We all have something. You have a junk drawer, you have a junk room, you have a cluttered counter or table, like basement. There's a space that you stare at and You're like, oh, yeah, I got to get to that, right? Mm. So part of that, this is part of that, too. So it's not just end-of-life planning or organizing. It's that, you know, looking at your space, too. So it's really interesting that I just found a research article that was talking about how clutter in our lives leads to additional, like, physical stress on us. Mm-hmm. And so the more that you can actually organize space around you makes you feel better, relieves that stress. And even when we talk about, like, when I was saying earlier about, you know, coming down and joining us, just that connectiveness, I again, we don't think that this has an impact on us. Mm. So I found this study from 2021, so fairly recent, and she said that loneliness and isolation is the equivalent on your health as smoking 15 cigarettes a day.
That's crazy.
I'm going to say it again. Loneliness and isolation has the same impact on your physical health as smoking 15 cigarettes a day. Right. So and the same thing can be said about, you know, chaos and, you know, around us. So the more things that we stare at and the more stuff that there is, it has a physical impact on our health. So, you know, even if you, so I always say, you know, where do you start? Start somewhere. Right.
Yeah.
So pick a space. And there's different methods for this. I acknowledge that it can be overwhelming. I acknowledge that it can be hard. We have a connection to stuff in our lives. But there is this financial benefit to knowing where things are, not having to replace them. I shared the story last week of my dad, who I feel is very organized. Like, he is complete opposite of me. Like, I feel like he's anally organized, like, right? But last spring, we were doing a strange project, and I asked if he had an electric nail gun. And he's like, yeah, I don't know, right?
Where did I put
So we start looking for this electric nail gun. We look, and we look. And he's got three different shops and three different, you know, outbuildings and different things. And, oh, maybe out at the 40, you know, whatever. And look. Do you know how many electric nail guns we found?
Oh, no.
Three. We didn't find the one that we were looking for, but we found...
Oh, we didn't find the...
We did not find the open electric nail gun. We found three that were still packaged, sealed in the package and unopened. And I'm like, why do you have four electric nail guns? Like, he doesn't do construction. This isn't something that he, you know, is doing all the time. Like, yeah. Like, no, what's a plumber by trade? You know, not, no. And, well, I don't know where it's quicker and easier to go buy a new one. So in his life, you know, in the house with papers, uber organized. He's got documents going back to the 1960s, categorized, color categorized, date, time. He's got, oh my God, like hilariously, he's got little letters from the bus drivers. My brother is now 58 years old, and he's got, you know, notes that the bus driver sent home when he was, you know, reprimanded.
Wow, awesome.
He's got them all like filed and saved, like, organized, like super organized when it comes to paperwork. But when it comes to his tools, not so much, right? We don't all have to be organized in the same part of our lives. So again, but, you know, an electric nail gun is not a cheap thing. So by the time you buy four of those, that's hundreds of dollars, if not more, depending on the brand. So, you know, it's like, there is this financial implication to, you know, knowing where your stuff is, no matter what it is. So, you know, I always say start small. Pick a space, right? So if it is depending on your space and where you're at, you know, I always go back. I don't know if I've shared this with you before, but I'll age myself again, many, many years ago, 20 plus years ago, Oprah had this thing, and she had some psychologists on talking about a kitchen table. If you come home or wake up in the morning or go to bed and you have just a clean kitchen table, how it starts and ends your day, and you're on a positive, higher.
I
positive
like that. Note.
Yes. So you're walking in and you're not seeing clutter. It's not the first thing in your face. So if you have a space, so the rest of your house could be just trash, right? Like, you could have a dining room that you can't walk in. But if your kitchen table is cleared off, or your countertop, the first thing that you see, or your pantry, or, you know, your porch, pick a space, a small space, so that the first thing that you see, either when you walk in the house or exit the house or in the morning, and this is the same kind of thing in the concept of, you know, making your bed. Some of us have
first thing to pop in my head.
Yep.
Yeah.
Some of us have always made our bed, but there's this idea of it's new, it's fresh, it's not only does it feel good or it's clean, but it's this idea of yes, it's this, it makes you feel like and there's physical, you have lower heart rate, you have like it's like holy smokes, this is all connected. It is, it's powerful. Yes. So even if you can't tackle the basement, or you know, maybe someone in your life is no longer with you, that kind of thing, and you have all of their stuff that you haven't gone through, no, pick a spot, set the timer. Literally, it's another tool. Set the timer. Give yourself 10 minutes and say, I'm going to work on this for 10 minutes. When I'm done, I'm stepping aside and I'm walking away, right? But give yourself credit for setting the timer and starting and doing it, right?
Yeah.
Another method that I recommend is going through like and do easy, like low hanging fruit, right? So we always say like keep, toss, donate, have three piles, keep, toss, donate. A lot of times it's super easy to start with garbage. Garbage, start with the stuff that if it's broken or you haven't used it more than, you know, we used to say years, but 6 months, you haven't touched that baby in six months, get rid of it.
Probably
right? Is it outdated? Is there a newer version that doesn't even work anymore? Do you have, I just had this, I found this the other day, a bunch of user guides and manuals for appliances we no longer have. We had an entire box.
God, I hear you.
An entire box of, you know, user manuals for appliances we no longer even have.
That's hilarious.
Why are we keeping that, right?
Yeah.
So again, there's things that you want, things that you need, but sometimes it's the low-hanging fruit that's really easy. So go through and just say that. Like, okay, I'm just going to get rid of the stuff that's broken or trash or I don't need anymore or I don't use. That's a quick one. You know, just go through and do that. So do it in levels. Do it to your own pace. Give yourself credit. But we'll be talking through some of these different pieces of methods to kind of go through your stuff and what are those, so some of the financial implications of it, but then also just working your way. And again, there's also no right or wrong way to do this. It's different for every person, it's different in every situation. So you might have done it 2 years ago, let's say, when you're, you know, your father had passed away and you're like, oh yeah, we did this really good, and then now I tried the same method and it's just not working. We're in a different space, we're in a totally different space. So it, give yourself credit as you kind of try to.
And to piggyback on that, I noticed this at back in high school. I make my bed, and it's not a big deal. And sometimes I'm a little late, like a minute or so late to what I wanted to get started at or whatever. But when I came back to my bed at night, it was made, it was ready to go. And I have this like kind of full circle moment. And I started my day with a win. And the more time goes on, and the more I talk to people, the more that phrase, just take the win.
Yeah.
And not everything is the Super Bowl. Not everything is a huge, gigantic win. Sometimes it's those little ones. And even if it's subconscious, even if you're not recognizing, hey, I just won, you don't have to necessarily have that. But the win, doing the action, and as you're going about your day, and maybe things don't go perfect for you, you have started your day with a win. You're already one up. And it's just making your bed, but it feels good. Maybe it's cleaning off that kitchen table before you go to bed at night. And when you wake up, there's the win sitting right there. We need to take the wins more in life. We need to do that more. It's okay. There's nothing wrong with it. A win in week one of the season.
No matter the size, right?
Yes. It counts just the same as it does in week five. You know, it's the same thing. So taking those wins where you can, I think, is a really nice note. The clarity is also nice with this. I think a lot of people think of hoarders right away when they think of stuff. And, oh, well, I'm not a hoarder. Well, you don't have to be a hoarder to have way too much stuff. And hoarding has very little to do with the stuff and more to do with what's going on in their brain and the chemical imbalance and those things.
Absolutely.
When it comes to your average, quote-unquote, average person, none of us are average, when it comes to that, and a lot of stuff, that's kind of something we all can be guilty of, whether you have an apartment or an estate. The more you can get rid of that stuff, you are going to have some more clutter, less clutter in your brain, a less clutter going on up there. It's nice to have more space. It's all really nice to have more space upstairs. And you're going to help out Over the Back Fence. You can bring those items to Over the Back Fence. Shameless plug.
And it's funny that we don't think of that, right? We don't think, again, and there's so much data now and research that shows that, yes, there are physical implications mm-hmm. to clearing out your stuff that it has on your health. And you're right, mental, physical, and even physical. Again, lower your blood pressure, you know, longer mm-hmm. longevity. There's all these pieces, and it's like, holy smokes, really? Yes, from just cleaning out, you know, your space. So, and sometimes it's, you know, you can say, you're right, we do think of hoarders, but it's like, oh, I had a gentleman this past week that was in a program of mine, and he said, you know, we have the last 30 years worth of tax returns. You don't need 30 years worth of tax returns, right? Or all of their checkbook stubs, you know, for the last 30 years.
yeah.
You don't need that either, right? So there's different levels. We all have something.
We all have stuff.
But anyway, so yeah. So ours, February 21st is me. We'll be talking through this. We'll be going through different methods. If you'd like to sign up for any of our programs, again, they're on Tuesdays, first, second, and third Tuesday of the month at Focus, which is located on West Grand. Have, like I said, right down almost to Quick Trip. You can contact our office to register. It is free of charge. We just want to know because we do some prep for the program. So to register, it's 421-8437. Again, 421-8437. And well, happy to see you. I hope we get a crowd and good stuff.
That's it should be great. We really do appreciate these classes and these things that you're going over. And one of the things that I think is going to be really noteworthy with this class, the flyer that we didn't get a really chance to touch on too much, but how long do I keep household records? You were kind of touching on that a little bit there towards the end. And that's really, like, that alone is really interesting, let alone, you know, sharing secrets and where to keep these items and that. There's just thing after thing that are just very noteworthy and very helpful, and always enjoy the time. Jackie, I don't know, I think we've ever gotten together and I've ever been able to keep track of time. I always lose track. I'm like, oh my gosh, we got to wrap up. Really do appreciate you, Jackie, for what you do for our community and hanging out with us and everything monthly. We appreciate the time. People want to follow up on some of the things we've talked about or register or be a part of this. How can they do that?
Again, contact the extension office, 421-8437. Again, 421-8437.
We'll be sure to send some people your way.
Awesome.
And thanks for the time, Jackie. Well, at More Morning Magazine for tomorrow, we'll wrap up the week right here at WFHR, locally grown radio.
Here's your forecast from local.